Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
I was gone last week. I heard Dr. Stone did a wonderful job. I heard good things, and I was thinking of you just like I told you would happen. I'm sitting on the platform at Rochester Hills Baptist Church in a very expensive part of Detroit. Affluent, that's it, all right? Help me out, I'm a youper, all right? My vocabulary is somewhat limited. A very affluent section of Detroit. I'm telling you, what a facility. It goes from here to, the corner, the piece of property that their church facility is on goes from here. I hate to say this over the radio. Goes from here to beyond that bar over there, next door. What used to be that bar over there, next door. And they got a whole section of, we could not afford to build the drive under that they have entering their church. The pillars, you know, this big around, and they go, wow, you know, this is something. But here's what I want to tell you. They're just like you. They're just like me. That people has church in it that love the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're soul winners. They're interested in reaching the lost for Christ. Just like I told you was going to happen. During the song service, I'm sitting on the platform and I'm wondering what's going on at Fundamental Baptist Church. You know, who's doing what? And I got up to preach. Thank you for praying. I had complete liberty, complete freedom. I was able to preach the Word of God, and thankfully, to God be the glory, be used of God. Great altar call. God bless in an immense way. Thank you. Without the prayers of the people of Fundamental Baptist Church, when I go out and preach, I know where it goes, and that's absolutely, absolutely nowhere. After the evening service, a little lady came up to me, a little old lady, and shook my hand, and looked up at me and said, I just love to hear Youper talk. She hears that, she's able to hear that accent that we don't hear up here. And I took it as a compliment. Difference in the churches. We are not in Detroit. We are in the Upper Peninsula. We're here by design. We have the facility that God has given to us. We don't have that facility. This facility down there, I don't know. Got to use it. Be like a brush arbor down there is what it is. But I saw more mink coats last week and fancy cars in the parking lot. I even ate dinner with a millionaire, but Brother Hal Hightower did not tell me he was a millionaire until after dinner was done and the guy said goodbye, because he knew that I probably would lay some burden on his heart, brother, that you ought to be praying for. Here's the difference. They just remodeled their men's room. $70,000 to remodel what was already there, a men's room. And I'm thinking of Fundamental Baptist Church. Our stanchions are made out of plywood. Have you ever noticed that before? I've forgotten that. Somebody reminded me of that this week, you know. They're made out of plywood. In the men's room out here, we have a urinal that we found in the woods. You remember that? This is a Youper church. God has us here by design. And I probably should say this, you deserve to be here, all right? Look what it says here in Romans in chapter 7. Let's start with chapter 7. I want to get right into it. I texted Brother Bill last night. I've got about 8 messages ahead. Man, I've been studying like you would not believe. It's gone right along with my prayer life that has increased so much. And now I got messages. I've kind of resigned to the truth that I'll probably never preach some of them. So I guess I know who it was for. All right, it was maybe for me. But I've got a stack of messages, and God kept leading me back to Romans 7 and 8. 7 and 8. So I texted Bill late last night. I asked him, I said, when's the last time I preached out of Romans 7 and 8? I maybe just said 8. I don't know. Just said 8. And he said, oh, yeah, he probably is the last guy to ask. Because I maybe preached this last week. I don't even remember. But God just kept bringing me back to this. I want to encourage you this morning. Best way I know how. This broken sinner saved by grace. I want to encourage everybody here. You're going to get overwhelmed in the world. You not only are fighting the world and the culture, you're fighting your own wicked heart, just like I am. Paul referred to it as the old man, the old nature, the Adamic nature. And look what Paul here says in chapter 7 and verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual. Paul's saying this, probably the greatest New Testament Christian that ever lived. So you might just well loosen your halo just a little bit and admit where you're at in life in light of the Word of God. He says, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not, and what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that do I. He's talking about the struggle of life. He's talking about being a spiritual man and still committing sin. And the difference between being a spiritual man and committing sin and a backslider or a carnal man and committing sin, it cuts him to the heart every time he does it. He said, oh, I've failed. I've disappointed my Savior. Verse 16 says, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. And then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Paul said, man, this is the struggle, the battle. It's a hopeless condition without Christ. And he refers to himself as not just a good man that struggles, but a wretch in rags. No righteousness. We've got to stop comparing ourselves among ourselves and thinking we're okay. Got to stop looking down the road at another church and saying, yeah, but we're evangelistic. You got to stop looking at your sister or at your brother and shake your head in silence and build that builds you up a little bit. You're not walking with God if that's your attitude. Stop being proud about who you are and start being humble in the grace that God has provided. Paul goes on here and says in verse 19, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. And if I do that that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. This is a spiritual man, writing by way of inspiration, saying there's nothing good in him. Tim Rader, you take God away, you take Christ away from Tim Rader, and he's a wretch. He's no good. Nothing to be proud of. Oh, I know what the world is, and I know what the flesh is, and we like to build ourselves up. In front of God, that's not the case. Verse 20 says, now if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Paul, just kind of in exasperation, summarizes it by saying, oh, wretched man that I am, a wretch, banished and miserable. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And he gives the answer. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. He gives the answer, the first part of verse 25, Jesus Christ is the answer. He's how you live victoriously. He's how you and I can grow in grace. He's how you and I get born into the family of God to start with. We get born into the family of God. That's where it starts. Look at Romans in chapter 8 and verse 1. Why don't you stand with me? You're listening real good. I'm not punishing you. Just stand with me out of respect for this first verse. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. He's talking to a child of God. You see, we stand at the Bema seat. Everybody gives an account to what they did in this body, whether it be good or bad. That's born again people stand at the Bema seat. There'll be no condemnation to them that follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And those that have failed God, they lose rewards. Yes, maybe they'll just get to heaven by the grace of God, by the skin of their teeth. We all get to heaven by the grace of God. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But for those that are living for God, there's a great day coming. Father, would you bless the message? Make it strong, make it powerful, just take it where it needs to go. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Please be seated. Chapter 7, Paul speaks of the hopeless life, trying to do anything without Christ, even we that are born again. You know, the unsaved man, we can understand. They're not born again, they're not saved, man. What are they going to get done for God? Nothing. It's going to be a life of futility. They're going to spin their tires. They're going to live their years. They're going to live and die. Everything turned to dust. You know, and they've done nothing for God. All the trophies they have in life, nothing, nothing. In fact, before their life even ends, nothing. It just goes nowhere. There's got to be more than life than just making some money and paying bills. You understand that? There's got to be more than life, more to life than just having some kind of title where a few people maybe respect you. And you fill your space and you breathe the God-given air that He's given to you, and that's what you do in life, and then you return to dust. If any thinking person will understand, there's more to it than that. I want to encourage you that are parenting right now, boys and girls. I want to encourage you that are parenting teenagers. There's more to life than what you're doing right now. And so do not just satisfy the whims and wills of your children. Raise them for God. Raise them for His glory. Accept what happens. Bathe them in prayer. They're going down the path of life. Trust God. You made some mistakes in the past? Man, who hasn't? Who hasn't? Even in parenting. We all have. Try to do a better job. The biggest thing you can do is go to the throne of grace every single day. Pray for them by name. I'm telling you, I think I've told you this. Maybe it was a Sunday night. I'll tell you again. You're a member of Fundamental Baptist Church. I pray for you every day by name, except Sunday. Every day. Man, it's just changed my life. And as a child of God, you'll grow in grace. He'll help you. It's hopeless without Christ. You say, oh, but look what's happened. Hey, without Christ, it'd have been even worse. Maybe they'd be dead. You know, just thank God for the grace of God in your life. By the way, Ethan, good job. Sitting right up here in the front. Man, what happened? Are you in trouble? No? Okay. Good deal. All right. Glad you're here. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. It's a hopeless life, but not without Christ. I want you to know, as a child of God, there's no reason for discouragement. There's no reason to be discouraged, to be downtrodden. There really is not. Even if you're going right now through a storm. Paul wrote this letter, the book of Romans, in light of a storm of persecution upon the church of Jesus Christ in that first century. And it's in this chapter, chapter 8, we won't get there, where he says, all things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to His purpose. Qualifier there. You're a Christian, that's great. A believer, that's great. But if you love God as a believer and you're fulfilling the call of God in your life, no worries. No anxieties. You just bring things to God. God meets your needs. He'll always take care of you. You've got a heavenly Father. With Christ, Christ makes all the difference in the world. I wrote this down. I read it this week. In 1876, Charles Spurgeon said this: a sermon without Christ is like bread without flour. He said, no Christ in your sermon, sir? Go home and never preach again until you have something worth preaching. There's a message. We're to give the gospel all the time. We're to tell people of Christ all of the time. I was just told this morning, a man named Judd is in ICU, not going well. All the family's down there. Thursday morning, he called out to Christ and got born again. Thursday morning, lying in a hospital bed, prayed the sinner's prayer. I said, man, did you mean it? He said, I meant it. I said, glory to God. Man, if God calls him home, that's why we're here. It is why we're here. Let me put another commercial in for Sunday school. The Whosoever Will Club. I got 200 or 300 pins coming, and we'll get more as we have it. And you lead a soul to Christ, I'm going to give you a lapel pin or a pin to put on your hat or your dress. I'm a whosoever, and it'll be a great soul winning tool. And if we use them all up this winter, you only get one pin. But we use them all up this winter, man, there'll be 200 or 300 more people going to heaven one day. Come and get involved, learn how to do it. Quit staying at home. What are you doing at home on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock? I mean, maybe you're working. Maybe you've got a good reason to not be here, but you ought to be here. From 5th, 6th grade on up, we're going to spend about 4 weeks, 6 weeks, and we're going to cover this, and it's going to be a great blessing to you. But there's great hope with Christ. I don't have an outline, so I'm just kind of reading through this. I've got some things written here that I want to be able to say, but I want to skip ahead because I've used too much time. Let's go over to let's look at verse 12, chapter 8. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. You are not tied to the past. You are not tied to past poor decisions. You are not tied to the past sins of your life. Maybe you used to be a drunkard. Maybe you used to be perverted. Maybe you used to tell dirty stories. Maybe that's what you used to do. Paul is saying, by way of inspiration, you're not anchored to that past. You're not anchored, you're not tied to future poor decisions or sins. Here's a point that probably needs to be made. All the sins that Tim Rader has committed, when Jesus died on the cross, they were all future. He died for them all. When I received the righteousness of Christ, I got the whole thing. Use a little Spanish, the whole enchilada, right? A little bilingual there. Had some Spanish in the wedding yesterday. Not from me, but from other people. I struggled with the name, but I got it. Let's see if I remember Brooklyn's last name. Joel and Brooklyn Castellón. Am I right? See, you got a lot of Spanish. I'm giving you all kinds of Spanish this morning. Enchilada? I think that's Spanish. That's not. I don't know if it is or not. See, is it? Okay, all right, whatever. All right. Let's get back to the scripture. Somebody's going to think I'm speaking in tongues here. That probably wouldn't be. Wouldn't be proper. Yeah, I am in reality. Look at verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify or kill the deeds of the body, ye shall live. It is a battle. It is a struggle. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye that have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, or Daddy. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. You see, it's just assuming there, as a child of God, we're going to go through storms. We're going to go through deep water. We are going to suffer. In Sunday school, we have learned this fall that our calling, part of our calling as children of God, in 1 Peter, we are called to suffer. Peter said, we read it this morning, I saw Christ suffer. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5, I saw him hang on the cross. I heard the agony. I saw him suffer. Think it not strange that we have fiery trials. It is our calling in life. And that calling gives us a platform to preach the grace of Jesus Christ. That's the privilege that we have. So you're not tied to the past. There's great hope. In fact, there's assurance. We are sons and daughters of God. We are joint heirs. Every time I read this, whether it's my personal reading or in a sermon somewhere, it almost sounds blasphemous. We are children, spiritually speaking, of privilege. We're children of the King. We may not have two nickels to rub together down here on this earth, but we're children of the King. And it says here that Verse 17, and if we're children, then heirs. What a thought. And heirs to the things, heir to the things of God, to the promises of God. Goes deeper than that. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that's our calling, that we may be also glorified together. Every step of every struggle that you ever experience, and you do it for the glory of God, any kind of persecution, any kind of difficulty, any time in the path of life where it's a little bit foggy and you don't know what to do, you cling to the Savior and you stay faithful to God. Every step will be worth it when you get home to heaven. That's what it tells us in verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Verse 17, I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. The danger of preaching this is someone hearing just a piece of this sermon on the radio and they don't understand what I'm saying and they mistake what I'm trying to tell you. That's why it sounds blasphemous. We'll never be God. You or I will never be deity. We will never be omniscient, all-knowing. We'll never be omnipotent, all-powerful. We'll never be immutable, never changing. We'll never be omnipresent, everywhere at one time. We'll never be God. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and that is it. But God in his grace, because of his Son, allows me to be adopted into his family, an outcast, a wretch, adopted into his family. And I become a joint heir with Jesus. Say, who's Jesus? The only begotten Son of God. Who's Tim Rader? Son of God. Do you understand how much God loves you? You might be struggling right now. Maybe your heart is broken for whatever reason. Maybe you're in the gall of bitterness. You are backslidden, my friend. Get back to being in love with God again. Get back to reading your Bible and prayer time and soul winning. If you're not careful, you spend the rest of your life blaming everybody else for the sins of this world. Man, fall in love with God. Oh, wretched man that I am. Yesterday in the marriage ceremony, and it occurred to me prior to, and there's emotion when you give away a son. There's real emotion when you give away a daughter. And Jim doesn't like to tell you he's an emotional man, but he's the same as I am, at least under the surface. And I could see he held himself together real well. I could see he was struggling just a little bit. And when you walk your daughter and you down the aisle and you give her away, that's emotional. I did that 3 times. Can you imagine in the throne room when the Father gave away his son, knew he was going to be gone for 33 years to the hands of man, and knowing because he's God what they will do to him? God must love us a whole lot. God must love your children. He must love my children more than I love them. Jesus Christ was willing to become sin. That's what he did. The Bible says he's our sin bearer. He became sin. He who knew no sin. He who never had an evil thought. Never hated the souls of men in spite of all that they did to him. Became sin. Think of the worst thing you ever did. That nailed Jesus to the cross. And he did it willingly. And God the Father, his only begotten Son, had to turn his back on his Son. And that's why Jesus, in anguish, cried out on the cross, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? what happened on the cross is the greatest love story that's ever been told. Jesus has provided for you eternal life and then abundant life.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.